Aren't you glad to be a king's child this morning? I don't see any poor people here. Is anybody poor here today? No, we're all blessed, aren't we? Amen. I'm glad I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm glad I know the one who owns the cattle on a thousand cattle on the hills, and he owns the hills too, by the way. Amen. I'm glad for Jesus this morning. Amen. I tell you, if you don't know Jesus this morning, you're missing out on everything in life. All the good things, all the better things. God, you know, he's a giver of all good things. The Bible says that all good things cometh down from the Father. Amen. So he is good, isn't he? Aren't you glad to be in his house today? Aren't you glad you're able to be in his house today? Oh, it's just a blessing, you know, to wake up and see the sun rise. And it's a blessing if the sun don't rise. You know, I get blessed on a cloudy day, same as I do a sunny day. He's still God, isn't he? Song said he's God of the valley. He's God on the mountain. He's God on a cloudy day. He's God on a sunny day. He's God every day, isn't he? Amen. I'm glad for him today, aren't you? Amen. I thank him for the singing this morning. All these people are singing. God bless them. They do a good job. Touch my heart. I'm glad today to know I'm a millionaire. I don't have much money. My pockets are sort of dry. But I'm still a millionaire. My Father owns it all, brother. He owns every bit of it. Not anything made that he didn't make. He made it all. The Bible said he made it all. And I'm so glad today to be a part of it. You know, he made you. He created man. Man didn't just come along because of the Big Bang Theory. Man was created by God, and he's part of God's creation. And we're all God's children this morning. If we're born again and know him, we're his children today. If you're not born again, I urge you to think about it. Not only think about it, but do something about it. Get in the way. Get in the way. Get in God's way this morning. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And how true that is. Turn with me today, if you would, to the 13th chapter in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 13. You'll hear pages flipping. I believe we're settled down now. We found the scripture. Let's read today from verse 10 in chapter 13. A familiar scripture. We've all know the story probably, or think we do. I thought I knew it till I got to studying a little bit about it this week. But, and I still know a little bit about it, just a little. So the more we study, the more we learn, don't we? The Bible said, from Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou camest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. I want to stop right there this morning. I want us to go back to verse 11 and notice the very beginning of that verse. It said, then Lot chose. I want us to think this morning just a little bit about choices. We all made a choice this morning to get up. We made a choice to come to church. And God is going to bless you for making that choice today. I pray that every choice you make, God would bless, but you know he doesn't. We make choices sometimes that's not in the will of God, don't we? We're human beings, and God give us a mind that we can make our own choices. And a lot of times, you know, we make good choices. A lot of times we make bad choices. I'm glad that I'm not a robot this morning. I'm glad that nobody can put a card in me and program me to make me do a certain thing. I'm glad this morning that God made me and made me in His likeness and in His image, the Bible said, and He gave me a will. He gave me a mind. He gave me that I could do my own thing and I could make my own choices. So today, you know, we all make choices. Choices is something that every person makes today. Whether they're good or whether they're bad, we have to live by the choices we made today. But I'm glad that 1967, one Sunday night, that I made a choice that has determined the happiness that I have today. I'm glad that that's been 50 years ago, soon be 51 years. And I'm glad this morning that the choice that I made that Sunday night has brought me happiness. I've not always been happy. I've not always been on the mountaintop. I've not always been on cloud nine, so to speak. No, I've not always been there. But thank God I've always had God. God has been with me all the time. Whether I was in the valley, whether I've been on the mountain, God's been there with me. And He's been with me ever since I made that choice. And I want to say this morning. It's one of the best choices I ever made. And if you haven't made that choice today, I urge you to make that choice to follow Jesus, to live for Jesus, to be what Jesus wants you to be today. Choices are very, very important. You know, when we think about choices today, we think of, as I said, how they determine what we're going to be. They determine where we're going to go. I want to go to heaven. I don't know about you today. I think you want to go too. If you didn't want to go to heaven, you wouldn't be here this morning. If you didn't have heaven on your mind, you wouldn't be here today. If you didn't have God on your mind and want to worship, you wouldn't be here today. I'm glad you made a choice today to come and to worship the Lord. I'm glad you made a choice. And one day when this life is over, you want to go to heaven to be with Him forever and forever and forever. So the choice we make in this life determines what our life will be hereafter. And then, you know, when we think about choices today, I'm glad that we can make a choice to go to heaven. I'm not talking about church membership today. Church membership's a fine thing. I'm not talking about living a good life today. And everybody should live a good life. But I am talking about this. We need to make a decision to follow Jesus. And we need to make that decision daily to follow Jesus. You know, every morning we wake up, we should say, Lord, what would you have me to do today? Lord, what would you have me to go today? Lord, what is your plan for my life today? These are some of the choices we need to make. But my friend, as Christians, we need to put God in every choice that we make. Our choices are to be to please God and not to please man. We make a choice today of whether or not we want to be saved or not. I don't agree with this thing that we're predestined, you know, to be saved or predestined to be lost. I don't agree with that. I do believe in predestination, though. I believe that every person in this world is predestined to be saved through and by the blood of Jesus Christ today. I believe that Jesus Christ died for all men. The Scripture says that He did. The Bible says that Jesus died that all people could come to repentance and all people could know Jesus Christ this morning as their Lord and their Savior. So we know that the Bible said that Christ died for all. He died to receive all. The Bible said in John there, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I'm glad this morning that Jesus one day looked down upon me and gave me the privilege that I could repent of my sin and come to Him. I'm so glad today that decision was made a long time ago, but it's still good today. You know, 50 years don't seem like a long time to me when you get my age. You know, 50 years just don't seem like it's very long, but thank God I've been with Him for 50 years, going on 51, be 51 years, October the 22nd this year, and it happened one Sunday night about 9 o'clock. You say, Lord, you don't have services like that no more. No, we've lost out a lot. We don't have things like we used to have. But it was about 9 o'clock one Sunday night when Christ saved me at an altar prayer, people praying for me, God answering prayer and saving me as a sinner. Why? Because I made the choice to follow Jesus. Have you made that choice today? Listen, we choose whether we're going to be saved or not. No one can make that choice for you. You have to make it yourself. You have to make the choice of whether you want to go to heaven or not. It's not a choice today, as I said, of being a church member. It's not a choice of being a Baptist or a Methodist or some other denominational. It's not that choice today. The choice is to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that you might go to heaven when this life is over. Oh, listen, we make a choice today. As I said, October the 22nd, 1967, I made that choice, and thank God it's still good today, the best choice I ever made. We choose what kind of a name we have. You know, we think about names, and I've heard people say, well, I don't care what people think of me. Well, bless God, I care what people think about me. You may not, some other people may not. I think you do. I think everybody here this morning cares about what people think of you. I think this morning you want to project a good image on the world out there today. I believe that. And you know what the Bible said over there in the book of Proverbs? The scripture said that a great name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I would rather have a good name today than be the richest person in all the world. But in fact, I am one of the richest people in all the world. Amen. And it's not because my name is Jim Bailey either. It's because my name is written over there in heaven's book today in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's written in the Lamb's book of life. And that is why today I want my name to be important in this life. I want a good reputation. Amen. You know, I've heard people say it don't matter what people think. Yes, it does. It matters a lot what people think. I know that most of us here today are not going to fill out a job application. I'm not looking for no work. I'm trying to get out of all I can. But you know, when we fill out a job application, we want to look good on it, don't we? Well, you better have a good reputation, because that has a whole lot to do with whether you're going to be hired for employment or not. It makes a difference. So you know what, the kind of a name we have makes a difference. The third thing I'd like to mention today is the crowd we run with. We choose the crowd that we run with today. Oh, what about old Moses? The Bible said over there in Hebrews in chapter 11 that when Moses became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, rather than suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Think about it today, my friend. There's pleasure in sin today. I wouldn't tell you there's not. The Bible says they are. But Moses said, I don't want to enjoy those pleasures. I don't want nothing to do with that sin. I'm going to serve God. I don't want nothing to do with them Egyptians down there. They're persecuting the Israelites. I want to serve God. I'm going to walk with God. Moses said, rather than to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, he said, I don't want a title like that. He said, I don't want to run with that crowd. He said, Pharaoh is a wicked king. He's a terrible person. He kills people. He does bad things. I don't want to run with him. My friend, listen to me today. You better be careful the crowd you run with today. You better be careful the places you hang out today. You better be very, very careful, because it's very important at who you are. We choose whom we'll serve. Think about that for just a moment. We make a choice who we're going to serve today. Oh, listen to me. Joshua said, remember what Joshua said? Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then Joshua went on a little further than that. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank God. We have to make some choices. And this is one choice we'll make, is a choice whom we're going to serve. Let us make some choices this morning and be concrete in what we make, mean what we make, and live by what we make. We find in Genesis there in chapter 13 and verse 11, the Bible said, then Lot chose. That's my text for this morning. That's my thought for today. Then Lot chose. Lot grew up in Uncle Abraham's house. Keep in mind this morning, Abraham was Lot's uncle. Abraham was a godly man. God loved Abraham, and Abraham loved God. And Abraham took Lot into his house when Lot's father died and raised him up, and he became a grown man under the leadership and in the home of Uncle Abraham. My, what a good uncle he must have had. Abraham was a friend of God. The Bible said, I'm glad to know this morning that we can be a friend of God this morning, aren't you? That goes along with some of the choices we make today. We can be a friend of God as Abraham was. You know something? God knew Abraham. He said of Abraham, the Lord said, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Genesis 18 and verse 19. So we know that God knew Abraham. You know, God made some big promises to Abraham concerning his seed. And Abraham was a friend of God, as we said. And the scripture tells us here that God loved Abraham, and Abraham loved God, and Abraham loved his nephew Lot. So we see today that, you know, we make choices. It doesn't matter, my friend, today whether you lived in and had a good upbringing, whether you lived in a good home or a bad home. It doesn't really matter today. But the thing about it is, somewhere in life you're going to leave that home. Somewhere in life you're going to go out on your own. And that's what happened in the scripture here today. We're going to find out that somewhere in life we make that decision to go out on our own and to be our own self. Well, you know, when kids are growing up, we sort of conform to our parents. We sort of like they are, you know. We believe like they do. We sort of act like they do. But then there comes a time whenever we come to age and we think, well, I'm sort of at the place that I'm going to go on my own. I'm going to be self-supporting. I don't need any help from Dad. I don't need any help from Mom. I'm going out on my own. Don't we all get like that every now and then? And what a big blunder we make most of the time. But we do it anyway. And you know, when kids grow up, they make choices. They make choices on their own of what they're going to do. Their philosophy, as I said, growing up, are sort of like their parents. But as they get a little bit older, their philosophy changes, and they go out in the world to do their own thing. I remember one time my daughter was talking about country music, called it Christian rock. Well, there ain't no such thing as Christian rock. Christian music don't rock, my friend. It blesses people. It don't rock people. Christian music is not for the generation of the day. Oh, listen, I know when I grew up, it was rock music. I remember about the time me and my wife got married, Elvis Presley came on the scene. Man, he had the shakes. Everybody didn't know what's the matter with that guy. He had the shakes, you know. Man, he was shaking this rhythm, this rock and roll. He was bringing it to the front, and people were going wild. And rock and roll, you know, Christian rock, they call it nowadays, some of it. But as I said, there's no such thing as Christian rock. If you would ask my daughter when she was growing up, do you listen to rock music at home? She would have said no. And you could ask her why. She said, my daddy don't allow it. And that was enough. You didn't have to go any farther. You said, look, preacher, she's 18 years old. You can't tell her she can't listen to rock music. Let me tell you something, my friend. I was head of the house, my house, and bless God, I had a right to tell her she couldn't listen to rock music. I had a right to tell her some things that was right, and I had a right to tell her things that was wrong. Why? Because she was my daughter, bless God, and she was under my care. And we find here that Lot was under God's care, but he did not make the right choices. Oh, many times, you know, we don't do what mama thinks right. We don't do what daddy says right. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Regardless of the home that we grow up in, we make a choice. We have a direction. We're going somewhere. Oh, we think about old Abraham. How the Bible said there in the chapter 12 in the book of Genesis that there was a famine in the land. A grievous famine, the Bible said. Very, very bad famine, according to the scripture. And the scripture said that old Abraham said, I know what I'll do. I'll just go down into Egypt. My friend, listen to me. Egypt was a type of the world. Egypt was a bad place to go. But Abraham said, I'm going to go. And he took Lot with him, his nephew. And the Bible said they took all that they had. They took all their herds. They took everything they owned, their money, everything they had. They took it and went down into the land of Egypt. Now the Bible said that Abraham was a man of God, and he built an altar and he worshiped God. I want to tell you something, my friend. We've lost the family altar today. We don't have family altar in the home anymore. It's a thing of the past. It's something that's gone. Why? Because we've neglected God, and our choices are not right anymore. The Bible tells us that Abraham will build an altar and he worshiped God. Now the Bible says that Abraham is going down into a far country. He's going down into a sinful place of the country called Egypt. And he took his nephew with him. And the Bible doesn't say one thing about Abraham building an altar in Egypt. The Bible doesn't say that Abraham even worshiped God in Egypt. But the Bible does say that Abraham backslid in Egypt. He said, oh, preacher, Abraham couldn't backslide. He was a man of God. Let me tell you something today, my friend. We don't preach enough on backsliding today. We don't preach enough on getting away from God today. We preach that everything's all right. It's permissible. You can do this. You can do that. And God will just look at it. The Bible said God will once look at ignorance and winked, but no more. God pays attention, my friend. He knows every sin we commit. He knows every time we do something wrong. When old Abraham went down there in Egypt and Pharaoh's men came out and told him what a foul fare that Sarah was, Abraham's wife, said, oh, she's pretty. She's fair to look up on. Old Abraham told her, said, honey. He didn't call her honey. He said, Sarah, he said, would you tell him you're my sister? Oh, listen to me, my friend. It's so easy. It's so easy to let the devil tempt you. It's so easy to let the devil lead you astray. Abraham, a man of God, a man whom God had made promises to, and a man whom God had took care of, here he is going to tell a lie. He's going to lie. Listen to me, my friend. It's easy to backslide this morning. Oh, well, I tell you, we live in a day you don't backslide. No, not anymore. Oh, I remember revival preachers. They used to preach a sermon on backsliding somewhere during revival every time. They'd hold a revival meeting and you preached on it. But listen to me today, my friend. We've got to the place that the world has come into the church, and the church has gotten the world, and it's so easy today to do the things of the world today and forget about spiritual things. Old Abraham went down into Egypt. He forgot about the altar. He forgot about worshiping God. You know, the altar represented sacrifice. The altar represented worship. But Abraham done away with all that when he went down into Egypt. He made a choice. He made a choice. And he made the wrong choice. My friend, listen to me. We make the wrong choices many, many times. You know, one time an old army sergeant told his men, he said, set up the tent. Abraham never even had a tent. When he went down to Egypt, he lived in a tent, and the tent represented a temporary dwelling place. A tent meant that you could take it up and move rather quickly. One time, the old general in the army told the soldiers, he said, set your tent. He said, don't drive the stakes too deep, because he said, tomorrow we're going to pull stakes and take the tent and move on. My friend, listen to me today. We're trying to got to, our stakes are too deep in the world today. We've driven our stakes too deep. It's hard to pull them up and to move on today. But sometimes, you know, we need to do that. Oh, so much of the world has crept into our lives today. We're so much like the world. We've got too secure in the things that are not right today. Old Abraham had got into that situation. He got into the place. Well, he got too deep involved in the world. You know, we know Abraham was a very rich man. Oh, Abraham had plenty. He didn't go down into Egypt broke. He went down into Egypt a rich man. But the Bible said he came out of Egypt with more than what he had when he went in. You say, I don't understand it. Listen to me. The Bible said Abraham was a friend of God. God don't forget his friends. Amen. God don't forget you and I. God doesn't forget his people. When old Abraham went down into Egypt, took his nephew with him, they took everything they had. They were rich people, but they came out far richer than what they were when they went in. The Bible said that Abraham came up out of Egypt and Lot with him. And when he came up out of Egypt, the scripture said that he came up with silver and gold and great herds of cattle. Now, I don't find anywhere in the scripture that Abraham had any cattle before he went to Egypt. But he got down there in Egypt and he got into Pharaoh's territory and he saw the great cattle, the great herds Pharaoh had. And he got into the cattle business. See, God blessed him while he was down in Egypt, while he was in a foreign country. Listen, my friend, God can bless you anywhere today as long as you're in his will. Amen. But Abraham got out of God's will, didn't he? But God still blessed him. Why? Because he was a friend of God. God made a covenant with Abraham. He told Abraham, he said, I'll bless them that bless you. He said, I'll curse them that curse you. Listen to me, my friend. God will bless you today if you will serve God. And he will curse you today if you don't serve him. And he's God and he has a right to do that. And he will do it. We find that old Abraham, as I said in verse 8, he had the tent. He had no altar. He had no tent. In verse 8, he had no altar. You know, the altar speaks of dedication. As I said, the altar speaks of sacrifice. The altar speaks of giving. Abraham didn't do any of that when he was down in Egypt. He had too much. He had too much of the world. He got into the worldly thing. That's the way with America today. America became too much involved in worldly things, too much involved in material things. And as far as I can understand, old Abraham, as I said, he got too involved with the people where he was at. So he lied about who Sarah was. She's not my wife, you know. She's my sister. He lied about it. And God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, he said, you're my friend. I'm going to take care of you. Hadn't God told us that many times? Oh, haven't many times we've done something that wasn't pleasing to God. Many times we've done wrong. Many times it was plain out sin, total sin. And God said, I still love you. Oh, I still care for you. Isn't that just like God? God loved you today. God loved Abraham. God loved Lot. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, even though God loves us, still sometimes we make the wrong choices. We see some things here, some choices that was made, and some of the choices were wrong. But I want you to notice something. We see there in chapter 13, talking about his wife. Then we see him come up out of Egypt with cattle, gold, and silver. He had everything more than he went in there with, but he never had pitched a tent, never had an altar, never thanked God for anything while he was down in Egypt. But he came up out of Egypt. He had to make a choice, didn't he? Oh, Abraham, he'd sojourned so long down in Egypt, it was hard to make a good choice. Listen, my friend, when you backslide and go back on God, it's hard to ever come back. It's hard to ever come back. I didn't say you couldn't, but I say it's hard. It's so hard. And I'll tell you something else. You know, all these excuses we make, all these choices we make, if they're bad, you know, we got to live with them. We got to live with them. Just like some of the great preachers of the day who fell by the wayside. Some of them have sinned and gone back on God. They never made it back. Take Jimmy Swaggart today. He's never back where he once was. I remember back in the 80s, Jimmy Swaggart could pull fire from heaven. Brother, he could preach the glory down. I haven't seen it lately. I haven't seen it lately. I've not seen no preacher can pull the glory down lately. Something's happened. The church has made wrong choices. Preachers have made wrong choices. Evangelists have made wrong choices. We've got to the place that we've got too much of the world and not enough of God. My friends, that's very easy to do. That's very easy to do. My first cousin, I hope he's still living. If he is, he's in his 90s. If he's still living today, I haven't heard whether he's still living or not. But at one time, he had a great experience with God. And I can remember when that man, you couldn't talk to him 2 minutes until he just had you feeling good, telling you about what God had done for him. And I remember he backslid on God. And man, you talk about a guy getting in the whiskey barrel. You talk about a guy getting into sin. You talk about a guy doing things that were sinful. Him and his son had an argument, had a fight. Son went down the road, had a car wreck, and was killed. All because of bad choices. Wasn't too long after that, his daughter, she got into a wayward life and went out into deep sin. Why? Because of bad choices. Bad choices. Let me tell you something today. Dad, be careful. Mom, be careful today what you do. You can backslide on God for 2 years and lose your family. Amen. You can backslide on God for just a little while and the whole community knows it. The whole town knows it. Everybody knows you knows it. And it has a great effect on everybody that knows you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Abraham, Lot, went back on God. And you don't remember the story. God told Abraham, said, Abraham, say, I'll not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. If you go down there and find me 50 righteous people. Now get this. Oh, Lot had done, he done quit soul winning. He done give up on winning anybody to Jesus. He forgot, the church today has gone back on Jesus. We're not out soul winning today. People are not concerned today. God told Abraham, said, Abraham, if you find me 50 righteous people down there in that city, he said, I'll spare it. I'll not destroy it. And you know, it went down five. He went down five at a time until he got down to number five. And he said, Abraham, could you just find me 5 righteous people down there? And Lot was so concerned with the world that he wouldn't even go out and try to find 5 righteous people. That Sodom and Gomorrah would be spared. It's easy to backslide. It's easy to get in the wrong place. In chapter 19, as they were moving on, the Bible said that Abraham and Lot split. You know the story. He told Lot, he said, you go whichever way you want to go, I'll go the opposite way. We know which way Lot went. The Bible said he looked toward the plains of the city. He's not in Sodom yet, but he's headed that way. My friend, listen, Satan will tell you it's not wrong. Dabble just a little bit in this. It's not wrong to tell a lie for a little bit of worldly gain. It's not wrong to drink a little bit sociably. It's not wrong to commit adultery. It's not wrong to get out here with the crowd and booze it up and do drugs. It's not wrong. You get out here and you booze it up and you do drugs and you go down the road and get in your car and wreck and kill somebody. That's not wrong. The devil will tell you that. My friend, let me tell you something. It is wrong. It's sin and it's wrong. And it's wrong to do it. But the devil will tell you it's okay. So you see, Lot was going on up toward, he was going through the plain. And he had him a tent set up. But all the time he was looking toward that ungodly city. All the time he was looking down that sinful path. All the time he was getting closer and closer and closer to the city of Sodom. And one day after a while, he got right up in the city. And you know what happened? Once he got into the city of Sodom, the Bible said that old Lot became, in chapter 19, we jump over there, the Bible said that old Lot became very sociable. He got to know the dignitaries of the city. He got to know all the elite people. And the scripture said that they got to know him. They sat at the gate of the city, so the scripture said. They met at the gate of the city. Lot got to intermingling with the sinners of the city. And the first thing you know, here came the wrong crowd to Lot's house. Here came the sodomites. Here came the homosexuals. Here came the wrong crowd. Why? Because Lot got in the wrong place with the wrong people. Don't tell me it can't happen. I know it can. I've seen it happen. I've seen Christian people who once had a good experience with God, went to church, done the right thing, lived right, but got away from God, went out in the world and backslid, and before long, they were leading other people into the wrong direction the way they were going. It happens, my friends, it happens. It happens all the time. But we've got to the place we sort of overlook it today. It's not sin anymore. The church today has lost its standards. Lot lost his standards. And you see what happened to him. He left old Uncle Abraham, a godly man. He left Abraham's house where he was raised up in a good family. And he got out into the world. And what happened to him? The Bible says that the homosexuals came up and told him, said, send the men out to us. And what did Lot do? He stooped so low that he sent his own two daughters. He said, let me send them out to you. You don't get any lower than that. Satan can't drag you no lower in sin than that. But he drug Lot so low. He drug him so low that Lot was willing to sacrifice his two daughters. You think that's bad? Oh, he went deeper than that. Oh, he went a lot farther than that. The scripture said that after they left the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, that his wife looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. Disobedience, the wrong choice. And she died. She became a pillar of salt on the way out of the city. Then we see Lot lost everything he had. You know what? We used to say, sin will take you further than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. That's exactly what it did to Lot. Lot lost everything he had. He lost all of his livestock. He lost his gold, his silver, all the money he had. He lost his wife. He lost his family. He lost it all. I said, he stooped lower than offering his daughters to homosexual men. He stooped lower than that. He stooped to an incestuous affair with his two daughters. The Bible said he lost his whole everything. He didn't even have a house to live in. The Bible said he was living in caves, in a cave outside the city. He didn't have a home anymore for the homosexuals to come and visit him. He didn't have a home anymore for the city's elite to come and pat him on the back and say, oh, Lot, what a fine guy you are. You see, Satan takes it all from you, people. He gets every bit of it. He doesn't leave you anything. He takes all he can possibly get from you. And Lot was living out there in the cave. And you know what them two daughters said? They said, let's go in and lay with him that his seed might go on. And they went in and lay with their father. The scripture said they got him drunk. He didn't have to get drunk. Lot knew better than to drink. Just like you and I, we know better than to do things that we do sometimes. We know better. Why do we do it? Because we let Satan overpower us. That's what happened to Lot. And it also happened to his family. His two daughters said, let's get him drunk. And we'll go in and lay with him. And the first one did the first night. She told the second one about it, and she did it the second night. So you see, that is one of the worst sins in all the scripture. There we find this man, as I said, committed an incestuous sin with his two daughters. Choices. You see where choices takes us, church? I know I'm on overtime a little bit, but that don't cost nothing. You see where sin will take you this morning? See where bad choices does for us today? It'll take us further than we want to go. Sometimes, you know, some people never come back from it. Haven't we known people who backslide on God, gone back into sin, died in sin? You know, the Bible said, and some men's sin do follow them to the grave. Some people's sin follows them, doesn't it? If you don't get it under the blood, it'll follow you. If you don't get it under the blood, it'll capture you. If you don't get it under the blood, it'll kill you. Sin will kill you if you don't get it under the blood. Oh, it's important that we make the right decision. I didn't get to finish all my message. It's too long, but I'll cut it off right there. I don't want a pot roast to burn up. I don't want you to have to stand too long in line to get your food today down at the restaurant. But I do want you to know this. The choices you make is going to determine where you spend eternity. If you want to spend eternity with your loved ones and Jesus in heaven, then you got to make the right choices.